Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mouth of the Time podcast. I'm Jordan Cronin. As ever, I'm joined by Miles Stauffer to chat all things Newcastle United. Before we get into the doom and gloom of this week's happening on Tyneside, just first off, Miles, how are you doing? Obviously, you returned from your fortnight away.
Yeah, I'm back from Blackpool. Had a good time. Weather wasn't great, but there you go. No, it was good to be back. But obviously, since I've been back, we've had that home draw and the transfer window, which I'm sure we're going to talk about at length now. So let's get on with it.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were back for the 2-2 draw with Southampton before covering deadline day, which obviously ended in real disappointment with no signings. Just based on your understanding, Miles, how did deadline day play out in the end? Because I think we reported pretty early on that their first team business is done, but then there's reports elsewhere claiming that they were looking at potential loan deals for Leicester City's Hamza Choudhury and Marseille's Boubacar Kamara.
Well, yeah, we reported in the morning actually that that the club was done in terms of first team arrivals. Of course, Santiago Munoz arrived on loan later in the day. He'll go with the 23 squad. I think both sides are correct actually. Well, as it turns out, the club was done for first team arrivals, but that didn't stop talks going on through the day to see if something could be done. I think obviously Bruce was understandably desperate to get another player in. He'd seen players leave at the expiry of their contracts. We're talking Carroll, Saivet, Atsu, that significant chunk off the wage bill. And he'd let Matty Longstaff out on loan as well. And he's a player, in my view, could have played a role this season. And we sure he did very well when he came into the team middle of last season. Didn't see him again. So he was obviously clearing the decks for a loan signing. But it didn't happen. I think there was obviously a bit of back and forth with Leicester in terms of Choudhury that saw reported elsewhere about Kamara at Marseille. He's opted to stay there. Whether how much appetite in terms of the club's hierarchy there was for another deal on deadline day scene is up to then. The noises coming out of that club were very much that the club was done in terms of first team arrivals. We're already starting to hear bits and bobs in terms of Bruce and his view on the situation. He'd been pretty downbeat after the Southampton game. I asked him whether the club's deadline day business was going to go down to the wire, and we just got one word out of him: no. So clearly, he on Saturday wasn't too optimistic about any kind of late deals. And we know it's deadline day where these kind of last minute loans invariably get done. But obviously, Choudhury's a player he's been after for some time. Leicester were willing to let him go out on loan for a fairly modest fee. There'd obviously been some kind of deal to be done on the wages, but clearly there wasn't any appetite in terms of the hierarchy to get a deal done. And when you look at the figures involved, Willock's been paid for in instalments, and that first instalment, essentially, it seems, has been paid for by Adam Armstrong's sell-on clause and Florian Lejeune's the fee which Al's paid for him. So you're talking about, you're not talking about any kind of net spend in this window, which is extraordinary when you see the figures, being spent elsewhere by clubs which Newcastle United are competing with to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah, what do you make of sort of the lack of spending? I know it's always been something that Mike Ashley has, on average, always refused to do. Do you feel like the lack of signs was purely down to Mike Ashley just, cutting his ties and not wanting to do it? Or do you think, there's something else behind the club not spending? Obviously, we know that the club has been impacted by COVID, but has it been impacted that much where you're getting, Newcastle are getting outspent by the likes of Norwich City and even Brentford, two teams that have just came up from the Championship?
Well, exactly. COVID's impacted every club in that division. It hasn't stopped other clubs spending money. Ashley seems to think clear, well, would seem to think that he doesn't need to spend, that Bruce has kept them in the division these two years. Bruce actually got what he wanted last summer. I thought the club did some very good business. You look at Callum Wilson, Whether he's looked at that spend and think, well, you've got enough to stay in the division. Of course, they finished, you know, more or less mid-table last year following that late run. But let's not forget, March 20th, they were deep in relegation trouble. That finishing place doesn't tell the story the whole season, how close this club came to a third relegation under Ashley. There's obviously a few factors we can look at it and think, well, Ashley really has checked out. He's just left the club to kind of generate its own funds. But ultimately, if this club's relegated, that's very much his problem again. And the value of his asset is going to drop significantly.
Yeah, Joe Willock, the only summer signing in Newcastle, which for me, we mentioned COVID and stuff there, but for a Premier League club, I think that's absolutely astonishing. Bruce thinks that the club, that his squad is the same as last season. Miles, I think you'd agree probably with me and every other Newcastle United fan that Newcastle's squad is actually weaker than last season.
Yeah, exactly. Willock was here last season. The club's lost Carroll, lost Atsu, both in the squad last season. They'll name 25 players. Four of them we think will be goalkeepers. But it would take quite something to weaken a squad which had, you know, for a long part of the large part of last season, you know, was in a relegation battle. But it has other, you know, even if you can make the argument they've stood still by signing Willock, but really if you stand still when others are moving forward, you're going backwards. And I think that's where we are. It's worrying, and then you put it against the context of the mood among fans, the mood towards Bruce, the hostility we saw at the Southampton game. It doesn't bode well for the coming months at all.
Yeah, it almost feels already that with four games gone in the season, obviously winless in the Premier League out of the Carabao Cup, that Newcastle seem to be on the sort of edge of disaster already. We heard chants of "We want Brucey out" at Southampton. I think, just for you, where does this leave Steve Bruce as Newcastle manager? Because I said that, you know, if Ashley was going to stick by Bruce, then you had to back him just purely because of all the, I wouldn't say hatred, but discontent towards the manager. And instead, I think Bruce has potentially been hung out to dry. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
It looks like, well, look, all of his predecessors have had issues over transfers. Bruce up to now has kind of, you know, towed the party line. He's been on message with, you know, and he has been backed. He was the manager who said, you know, I can bang on the door harder and get what I need, you know, and he hasn't this window. He needed more than Joe Willock this window to be able to put a team on the pitch to compete this season. You look at how vulnerable they are to an injury to Callum Wilson. Wilson's, you know, was off at the weekend with a thigh problem. We hope that won't keep him out for any length of time. We'll find more out in, you know, next week for sure. But this club looks very, very, very vulnerable to injury to him. I know Steve Bruce was more looking at another midfielder, Chowdhury, defenders. But up front, you know, if they lose Wilson for any length of time, who's going to play up front? There's Dwight Gayle. Beyond that, you're looking at Jolinton, Sam Maximum, even Almiron, but they're not out-and-out strikers. They're not going to give the kind of goals return that Bruce will need. Look at Rondon going to Everton. He's gone on there just as backup. What an option he is for that club. That just shows the depth elsewhere at clubs which once were arguably weaker than this club.
Yeah, I mean, aside from all the frustration, and it is frustration because one summer signing again is not good enough, but personally for me as well, I do feel that Steve Bruce has a squad that is capable of staying in the Premier League. The likes of Callum Wilson, Alan St. Maxim, obviously it is pivotal to them staying fit. I do believe that Newcastle can stay up, and I do believe that if Newcastle do go down, it is on Steve Bruce. Miles, do you believe that Newcastle is strong enough to stay up as well? And do you believe early on, I know it's hard to predict now, but do you believe that Steve Bruce will keep Newcastle up?
Clearly, I hope he can. He's kept them up for two seasons. There was, you know, you could argue there's a progression in terms of league placing last season. I'm fearful in injuries and in terms of what happens if they lose the key positions. You know, we've seen Sam Maximum been out for periods of time since he's joined the club. How important is he? What do they do if he's out injured? You know, in midfield, are they short? Are they short there? Again, in defensively, they've been poor so far this season. There are kind of, you know, questions all over the pitch, and we don't really have the answers. But you would think if they can keep everyone fit for, you know, for most of the season, then this club has got enough to stay up. But it's a gamble, whatever way you look at it. It's another gamble from Mike Ashley, an owner who doesn't have any kind of ambitions other than selling the club. He doesn't want to commit or loan any money, clearly. But this team is crying out for investment. At the core of it, let's not forget, it's been together for a long, long time. You need to add to it. You need to change things. You need to freshen it up. And that just hasn't happened this summer. Of course, you know, you go back to the start of the summer when the club essentially went all in for Joe Willock. That's understandable given the impact he's made. But what it's meant is there was literally nothing left. That's not Steve Bruce's fault. I'm sure he has banged the door hard. But that's no way to run a summer transfer window ahead of what will be a very challenging season.
Yeah, so out of all the frustration in the transfer window, a few supporters have suggested that Steve Bruce should walk away from the job. Miles, I think we both know the answer to this, but Steve Bruce, can he walk away from the job? He has had previous of doing it at Hull City when he didn't get his way, but again, I think we know the answer. He's not going to walk away, is he?
Well, I've asked this question in the past when there's been previous issues, and he's always said he wouldn't walk away. Has things changed, or is he at such a low ebb there where his attitude has changed? That I don't think so. We saw one kind of explanation reported in the Telegraph. You know, Bruce wouldn't walk away because he feels he'd be letting down the players, you know, those he signed, you know, especially Joe Willock, I'd imagine. And he was going to stick to the task. So he's not going anywhere. And what we learned last season, you know, in March, when the club was, you know, seemed to be only going one way, was that Mike Ashley has no appetite to sack him as well. We know how tight money is at this club. And if he did, it was to be sacked, then there would be a significant payoff. I think Mike Ashley's rolled the dice, and he'll see how it plays out. As for Bruce, he's well, unless there's been something dramatic change, he's staying.
Yeah, just finally to wrap up, I know we briefly touched upon it earlier, but Steve Bruce and Newcastle United, with Manchester United up next, and then Leeds, where do they go from here? Because ultimately they've had a poor start the Premier League season, and they need to start getting results on the board quickly, don't they?
Well, you fear it could get worse before it gets better. And that's the concern. We've got the Wilson injury as well at the weekend. Let's hope he's fit for Old Trafford. We don't know yet. But you know, two tough games really. It's going to be, you know, an extraordinary occasion from a Manchester United perspective next weekend when Ronaldo comes back, assuming he's involved and he plays or plays some part in the game. Going there and taking anything from that game is going to be, you would imagine, a big ask. Then Leeds at home, we all know how well coached they are. You know, we think back to Elland Road last season, the result there, the performance there from Newcastle. It could get worse before it gets better. And let's just hope it does get better.
So cheers to that, Miles. Appreciate you joining me for another episode of the Mouth of the Time podcast. Fingers crossed, as the podcast goes on, we do get a bit more positive, because at the minute the doom and gloom is certainly back at St. James's Park, as we're so used to having under Mike Ashley. But thanks again, Miles. So you can catch this podcast on all the usual outlets such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.